Welcome back to the show. It's You Up with Nikki Glaser. Joining me and Andrew Collin and Matt Bushell, who you've heard from the entire show so far, is now a clinical psychologist, Dr. Melanie Katzman. She has a best-selling book, a Wall Street Journal best-selling book, called Connect First, 52 Simple Ways to Ignite Success. You've seen her on so many different things. I watched a lot of your videos this morning. You're writing all over the place, just helping us deal with this coronavirus. Welcome to the show, Dr. Katzman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are on call right now for what's going on, for helping us all cope emotionally. I mean, I've read a lot of your tips, and you were on this March 6th, I think, is where I dated your first article that was like, hey, if you're working in quarantine, and I'm like, wow, this lady was you knew what was coming.
I can see a crisis coming. I think it's part of my job.
And yeah, good job.
Psychologists are incredibly popular, it turns out.
Yeah, I am relying on my psychologist and my therapist so much right now. I was actually looking for a meme the other day to post. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's like a black guy who's like rubbing his hands like, oh yeah, something's coming. And I wanted to use that meme and say therapist right now, because you guys are all like, oh, I mean, we all need you so much. I need you today I cried on radio yesterday for the first time. Because I have not cried during this. And
I'm actually glad to hear you saying that, Nikki, because people are really struggling with that range of emotions. And if you can model that crying is okay, that you can giggle and you can cry and both emotions exist simultaneously, then you're really helping out all of your audience, because it's a time where our emotions are all over the place.
They really are, and that's the perfect way to describe it, all over the place. I can't, like, really it bubbled up in a way. Like, I don't just cry on radio. I'm a professional. That doesn't happen. It wasn't like, on a very touching episode. Like, I didn't – and all of a sudden we were laughing 1 second, then I'm crying the next. And I really did. I was talking about it on the show a lot. I felt, like, constipated when it comes to crying. I'm like, I should be crying. This is very upsetting. So it's definitely natural for people to cry, right? But, like, do you feel like – What do you feel out there right now? What are people going through? What's, like, the underlining thread?
So what everyone's having a different time. The words that you just said, which is should, I think there's a lot of checking about what I should be feeling, what I should be doing. And the reality is that there are times when people go, oh, what a relief. I'm not commuting. Or I'm home and someone's cooking my meals. Or I'm not putting on clothes. So there's an aspect where there's positives. People are reconnecting with friends and loved ones. They're having a little bit more air in the day, and that can feel good. Mm-hmm. And then there's incredible loss. Loss of opportunity, loss of income, loss of milestone events. So we are feeling loss, grief, excitement for what might come, fear of what might come. And it's a whole jumbled mess that for different people hits at different times. So if I could do anything, I would encourage the absence of should. There's nothing we should be doing other than recognizing that we're all feeling, and that at different times we want to give voice to that feeling and not say, it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Right. Wow, you really hit on the shoulds. Someone once told me that shoulder pain is all, it's like the word should is in shoulder, and it's all your should that you keep telling yourself, I should be doing this. I mean, I say that word constantly. It stood out to you just in that moment, but I think it always feels like I'm doing it this wrong. Other people are doing it better. I mean, social media obviously contributes to that. You offer some actual interesting tips that I saw that I wouldn't have thought of before. And one of them was about living with a partner or living with other people in quarantine and how to deal with the range of emotions we're going through. And sometimes when it gets tense, like what solutions do you offer for people dealing with that?
Well, so all sorts of different solutions. I think one of them is to agree ahead of time that we're going to make each other crazy. Let's normalize that. No matter how in love you are, you're still going to actually get on each other's nerves. And so one of the things that I encourage, first and foremost, this may sound a little formal, is to check in the morning and just go, how did yesterday go? And what can we do today to make today even better?
Cute.
Sounds like, you know, something's too official, but, you know, think of yourself as a tech company. Have your morning scrum or huddle. Just check in with the people that you're working with and go, how's it going? What can I do to help you?
I love that. That seems silly. I mean, my guest Matt Bushell is living with his girlfriend. They lived together a year before this all began, so they had a little bit of there's groundwork. But I mean, like, being around someone 24 hours a day pretty much is not the way we're supposed – this isn't the way it's supposed to be.
Right. And so also the other thing is to figure out how to make your space more spacious. So I'm thinking about boundaries. Like, have a time where you can go take a call and know that you'll be, it'll be quiet. You don't have to worry about somebody interrupting. Have a place where you are kind of available to be interrupted, and have a place in the house where somebody's in that place. Don't go in. Like, do not disturb sign. Like, we all have a little introvert in us, and some people have a lot of introvert. So have a place where you can safely go and be sequestered away from everybody. So I think that's really important to put in.
I love that. I actually I implemented that in my house because I'm living at home with my parents right now. And I told them, like, if my bedroom door is shut, unless I don't come out for days and you think I've, like, died, like, there's just, you never get to walk in without knocking. There's, you know, just, it's no matter what. And they've really respected it, and they didn't take it. And then when I'm in my dad's office, which I'm here now, they know it's like I'm on air and they leave me alone. And it's, God, I've benefited from it. But I love that little idea of a powwow in the morning of just checking in and recalibrating. How do we do yesterday? How do we want to do tomorrow? Setting intentions. I like your the code word tip that you had. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that one too, which is I ask people to just come up with a code word, something that's just completely ridiculous that will make you laugh and make the people that you're sheltering with laugh, like, I don't know, snickerdoodle or yogurt or something just ridiculous, and it breaks the tension.
Anal or something.
Anal.
Whatever works for you. You know, one that makes you laugh or gives you a giggle, but, you know, something that just says it's not normal, right? Like, let's just hit the reset button, and I got to get out of here. Like, you are ill, and it is something that may sound a little awkward at first to kind of agree it ahead of time. And it's like, okay, now pull in the code word. Time for you to shut up.
Can my code word be fuck you, Dad?
So actually, it's funny because actually fuck you is one of the code words in our house.
Sure. Whatever works for you. But I love that idea. I think that when I read that, I go, wow, that could have helped me in past relationships. Because what happens when you're fighting with someone is, like, you lose sight of anything you might like about that person. They can't, like, cut through in any way. And that's just such an easy way to cut through and just be like, hey, by the way, cucumber. Like, it's so unrealistic.
And also, it allows you to stop escalating, right? Because when you're sitting with someone, it's like, I'm not even listening. I'm just reloading. Whereas when you stop and you say cucumber, then, which is probably better than fuck you in that case, that it just gives you a chance to kind of recalibrate where you want your conversation to go.
Yeah,
it works
that's
well
great.
With an online dominatrix, too.
Oh, yeah?
When I've had enough, I'm just like, you know.
Cucumber, when you say cucumber, though, that's time for your...
I purposely said code word, not safe word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's important to have, too, though. Andrew, do you have any questions for the doctor? Is there anything that you're dealing with that...
No, I feel like you really did nail, especially in New York when our apartments are the size of, you know, Barbie houses, that it's hard to find that space. Luckily, we kicked out our third roommate right before this and made it a living room. Yeah, she's on the street, but we're happy. And, we've been using the living room space as the office. So it's like, hey, from 1 to 2, can I use this space? Because I'm living with a roommate, not a sexual thing or anything. I'm on her end.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's her choice. And so like little things like that, or if she, you know, if she cooks, I'll clean. I don't know, just like establishing some things like that. And I think we've actually grown closer because of this.
You definitely have.
You could look at positives and, like, I'm like, oh, man, she's very creative. And, like, we've made videos and been creative together. And
yeah,
like,
you got a deeper connection with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things you're talking about, Andrew, is also seeing somebody in action gives you an opportunity to really value what they do. And I think this happens when you're with your roommates or even when you're with your family, where suddenly, like, parents get to see their kids in action and go, oh, you really are good at what you do. Or,
yeah. It so reminds me, I watched this show Unorthodox on Netflix.
Oh, yep.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, and then she, I don't want to give away the ending, but he's like, I didn't know that about you. And she's like, there's a lot of things you didn't know. And it just like, I don't know, just really. It,
yeah, that's yeah. That's the same conversation you had with your roommate when you guys moved in. There's a lot of things you don't know that you'll find out in the pandemic of 2020.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
That I don't lift a toilet seat. Yeah.
I'm living with my parents right now, and it's just, as someone, I'm about to be 36, and it's just, for some reason, that number's really fucking depressing me this time around. Like, I usually am not someone who gets sad about aging, but it's really affecting me now because I'm like, God, you know, if I had a boyfriend or a husband, like, I wouldn't be here with my parents, and obviously there are benefits to that, getting to spend quality time with them, but I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, I'm getting out of here and I'm finding, like, it is goal number one to not go through a pandemic alone again. But what's the future of dating? What should I be doing right now, perhaps, that could, like, help that? Because I feel kind of, there's no dating going on right now.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm a big believer that we should claim our age. I mean, age is power, it's expertise. So,
yeah.
Like, all apologies for age. Like, you know, I'm really, you know, all about claiming that and being proud of it. And, you know, in terms of having a boyfriend or, you know, or not, that doesn't necessarily equate with being with your parents or not. So I would say, you know, take a look at the choice that you've made to be with people that you love and feel loved by, and that's a positive. So just
right.
A quick check on, you know, reframing your circumstances so that you don't re-enter the dating world feeling like you're a step behind, because that's an unfair assessment of your own situation.
Right. Okay, that's a good.
We call you every day, like,
yeah, absolutely. But let me answer about the dating, because I think it is important.
What do we do?
So first of all, I think the dating is about a whole bunch of different things. You know, there's definitely the physical side of it, but there's also kind of the psychological personality side, and there's an opportunity to still get to know people now, and actually to refine your skills in doing that without some of the pressure that people have to physically be more intimate.
Sometimes
at a speed that they don't necessarily feel comfortable with. And I certainly don't recommend kind of doing things on screens that you don't feel comfortable with, because you don't know who's watching and when they're going to be seen. So if you take that physical piece out, it actually gives you a chance to kind of play with and relax into your personality and to really get to know somebody, and hopefully to gain confidence that you can, when you are back in the dating scene where you're across the table from someone, across the bar from them, that you don't have to move quicker into a physical relationship than you're comfortable with. So I think this great boost may actually give us a chance to reevaluate and reinstate our self-esteem just on the people-to-people side.
That's interesting. I really haven't taken any steps to, like, talk to, I mean, I've had guys want to, like, talk on the phone and I just, I'm too busy for it. I feel like it's a waste of my time. It's just like, do they even want, are they going to expect me to, like, watch them jerk off? Which, by the way, doctor, some of them do. Like that.
But this is where I think that actually, and I talk about this a lot with my patients, that, you know, figure out if you want to spend a little time talking to somebody online and what they're asking for, right?
Yes.
But if they are really asking for, you know, companionship, think about what it takes to, like, go on a date. You got to get dressed or at least get there. You usually have to spend at least an hour, if not more. Here's a chance to have bite-sized speed dating in a socially acceptable way. Like, I don't think that every meeting at a company needs to be an hour long, and I certainly don't think every date needs to even be a half hour. So you
right.
have a chance to do a lot of kind of quick checks with people and see whether you want to even pursue a conversation. And I think it's incredibly sociable. It's even more socially acceptable in this.
Okay. Case. Yeah, I'm thinking about starting to, like, DM people and just, like, putting myself out there, because, like, who cares? And the world truly does feel like it's ending, so all of these things that I was scared to do before, I'm just like, okay, just so now or never.
Reframing there, Nikki. I don't know that the world is ending. I think the world's looking at a new beginning. And you want to,
like, what if the new beginning is one that doesn't have humans inhabiting it anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, then I really do feel like I kind of catastrophize.
That was the word I was going to use. Yep.
I do, but like, this is a catastrophe, and I kind of saw it coming and was like, in the months before Corona, I was like doing a bit about it on stage about, I want to find a husband with a bunker. That's all I'm looking for in a man, is like, you have a bunker ready, because I want to be taken care of in the end times. And that's kind of how I feel. I mean, it's motivating me.
Okay, that's one perspective, and I think it is good to have the bunker ready, because you want to be realists, right? So there are times, I don't necessarily suggest you have bunkers, but I think you need to recognize that there are real threats, and we need to be prepared for them. And on the other hand, we also need to be prepared for the spring. Like, spring is coming, the renewal will come, and
we missed this one, but the next one.
The next one's going to be unbelievable. One of the analogies I use is, that if you think about kind of brush fires, spontaneous fires in the forest, they are a natural part of evolution. They're scary, they can get out of hand, but if you don't, get new growth. And this is a period where we are being forced in a very painful way to clear out a lot of things in our life that we've taken for granted, or actually excess that we've had, and that there is an opportunity to have regrowth, to have a really powerful spring with new kind of blooms. And the question we need to be asking ourselves is, who do you want to be when you emerge from this? And then what can you do now such that you're setting a stage for that new era?
Ooh, I love that. Like, who would you like to be? Not what, because I keep asking, what are you going to do when you get out? But like, who do you want to be? Like, what kind of new lease do you want to have? And like, what do you want to have gained from this? And I do feel like it's good for all of us to, understand, like, I think for me as a woman, like, everyone not wearing makeup and leaning into comfy clothes and not being able to get our hair done, get our nails done, I'm just so excited about that. I'm excited to see, like, girls are now getting more comfortable being without makeup on camera, just because it's like, I'm going to go put on makeup to take a picture in my den. You know, like, people are just getting lazier, so it's taking that pressure off, and it's like, I think that's going to be a good thing about this. But I also feel, you hit on it before, like, I do feel that there's just, like, I'm putting pause on my life, but it doesn't have to be that.
Well, and I think of this as, you know, this great pause is a chance for us to reflect on our lives versus feel like our lives are in a pause, right? So if you kind of think of, like, classical psychology, we have a stimulus and we have a response. But between that stimulus and that response, there is this moment where you decide what that response is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think we have this elongated pause, this elongated moment where we get to figure out how we want to respond. And so to the extent that maybe you ran your life faster than was always comfortable, or you moved to a dark place faster than you liked, or you made friends in ways that felt more superficial than were really comfortable, here's a chance to really do some reflecting about, again, how do I want to be? Who's the generous person inside that's been screaming to get out? How do I want to really fan those flames of humor that all of you clearly have as a gift, and give that back to the world, both now and after the pandemic, you know, is alleviated?
That's like a really nice way of looking at it. Like, I'm trying to think of this. And I often go to this, and like, metaphor for whatever I'm going through in my life, because I always feel like I'm just waiting for my life to start. Like, I'm always, once I get this, then it's my life. And everything always feels like I'm on the runway, and I never am taking off. But I am in the sky. Like, this is my life. What's happening right now is your life, is my life. And I always try to come back to that. And I think that's more about just what you're talking about, that, like, ability to take a pause and be in the present, which, you know, obviously meditation has been helping me so much during this time, because I think that's, you know, just honing that skill of being able to stop and being aware between the the thing that happens to you and the way you react to it.
Yeah, and also the other thing I would say to all of you is that we can't control the pandemic. We can try to influence it. We can't control when it's going to end exactly. We don't know. We can, of course, try to influence it. But there are things that we can control, you know, whether it's wearing a mask, washing our hands, being kind to the people that we're with, coming up with new ideas, looking for ways that we partition our time. So in moments like this, where it can be terrifying to be so out of control, it's really important to identify things you can control. Mm-hmm. And to grab hold of that and to execute there. It's really helpful in terms of fighting depression and low mood, and it's also a way to feel effective so that you can see the power that you have in the moment.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask you, like, what should I do if, because this, you're the lowest low possible, you can't get out of bed, your sheets are dirty, your room's a mess, you have no job, you have no food in the fucking fridge. You got to go to the store. How are you going to even put on pants? You're so fat. There's no pants that fit. You just, this is like me at my worst. If like
way,
things get really
a song.
And
in my worst, I think you're going to get a lot of people who build in their own choruses to go along.
Yeah, yeah, like just your worst. Like that's my worst case scenario of just like there's literally nothing. Aside from starving to death, that's going to get me out of bed. What do I do in that moment, laying in bed, that's going to help me put that first foot on the floor? What can I tell myself? What can I do?
Right. So I think that the first thing is telling yourself that there isn't tomorrow, right? Because, you know, if you just, this is it, and it's over, and you go into the catastrophic thinking of, you know, the world is over, I won't have a job, I'll never have money, I'll never have a boyfriend, I'll never have the pants that fit in the way that I want, then it goes to the most dismal place. What I would say, if you're in bed with the covers over your head, the first thing you need to do is stand up, right? The way that we get positive reinforcement in the world is by being in the world. And so if all it takes, all you can do in a day is to get up and put on clothes, great. You know, let's keep it small, you know, set some realistic goals. I love giving people worry journals because you need a time with yourself to worry, because we are all worried. But then you also need to close the journal and put it aside so that you can get on with your life. Keep the expectations small. So if you're really in that lowest of places, that all I've done today is stand up, put on clothes, and made my bed. I think it's huge to make your bed. A, it stops you from falling back into it. And the other is that it gives you at least something you've done. Make really nice, neat corners. Right?
Yeah.
Cleaning ourselves is really important, Nikki. Like, there's a way in which people end up not eating as a way of trying to control what's going on. And one of the best ways of responding to that is actually recognizing that we all need nourishment, whatever that might be, in your psychic nourishment. So when you got nothing, you got to reach out to people and just get that contact, that sweetness. But also having some food in your belly, no matter how people can get it. Because starving actually makes people depressed and down and creates a more negative feedback loop, pardon the pun, in terms of, you know, how people feel.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head for me, because whenever I've been dealing with eating disorder shit for literally half my life now. My eating disorder just turned 18 and it can finally vote. But right now it's like, and there are times where it's dormant and then there's times when it's super loud. It's the first thing I go to when my life is out of control. And certainly now, I mean, I was joking about this before, but like, I never wanted to be in a situation where I'm quarantined with lots of food that I don't feel in control around, or that I feel super in control around. And you're right. Like, sometimes I don't eat because I'm like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to feel good, because I want to feel as bad as I emotionally feel. So I'd like to feel hungry or just something. I want to feel something else. And feeling satiated feels too good. And it feels like you don't deserve that.
So you introduced me at the beginning as the author of Connect First. The first 5 books that I wrote were all about eating disorders.
Wow.
So clearly,
well, can you send – I'm going to buy your canon.
So clearly,
I can't wait.
We were clearly meant to meet. What I would suggest, if we think of your eating disorder as ED, Ed, it might be time to break up with Ed because you've been, you know, living.
That's also my dad's name, so this is. No, you're right about that too. My dad, I have a kind of Biden-y dad, if you know what I'm saying. He's very.
And in the very Freudian discussion in the last couple of minutes, but yeah. I was thinking about your eating disorder.
Sure.
If you might want to break up with during this time. Mm-hmm. Because
it's hard though when all of your friends are dating Ed too. They're in different stages with Ed, and you're like, I've been seeing Ed for a while, and he's mine. And if I let go of him, I'm gonna have to hear about him all the time still.
Yes,
from literally every woman on the goddamn earth knows Ed.
Right.
I think that's another thing.
That's why he wrote
five books.
Wait, those are bestsellers. I'm telling you.
Oh, they're going to be, well, you're going to sell a couple more copies now.
Yeah, you're great.
For sure.
I could just listen all day.
But yeah, you're so really right. Dr. Katzman is with us. She is the author of Connect First, 52 Simple Ways to Ignite Success, and also 5 Eating Disorder Books. Dr. Katzman, I love what you just said about breaking up with your eating disorder, or whatever it is. Whatever that is for you, the thing that you're using right now to cope with your anxiety, and really personifying it, because that's what actually helped me recover from nearly dying from anorexia, was that I just had one psychiatrist tell me to think about my eating disorder as a separate being. Mm-hmm. That I talked to, I screamed at a chair, which I felt ridiculous doing, but it really was the first step for me to recover. And I think it's important for me to remember that, is that this thing that I now have kind of felt like I beat, because I didn't, it's not bad anymore, it's manageable, it's still a disease that I'm I can choose to break up with a disease.
And you can also recognize that by having your disease come and knock back on your door, that it's also an indicator for you that you need something to cope. And so see it as a symbol, a reminder that all is not well. You need to take care of yourself.
Right.
But you don't necessarily need to take care of yourself in the way that you used to, because you have moved on. And you've moved past that eating disorder. So it's reminding you to take care of yourself. It's reminding you to nourish yourself. But you can also kind of close the shutter and lock the door and keep that coping strategy out on the porch and welcome in a new one.
Okay.
So, I wish you a lot of luck during this period. It sounds like you're asking all the right questions.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very aware of my behavior, which I believe is what you're talking about, just being aware, taking a moment to pause and go, why am I reacting this way? What else could be going on here? I'm just knowing that we're all freaking out, so not to judge yourself too hard for all the stuff that you're doing, but also to acknowledge that we all need to cope right now, and the things that may have helped us in the past are super loud, but they didn't help us for a reason, because they didn't help. And so I'm going to try to break up with Ed, but it's so funny because I'm also talking to an ex-boyfriend, and I needed to hear this advice even literally. So that was really nailed it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure to check out all that Dr. Melanie Katzman does. You can follow her on Twitter. It has a ton of info about her, a ton of articles that will just help you so much. Melanie Katzman is her name. Again, the book is Connect First, 52 Simple Ways to Ignite Success. And Andrew Collins, thank you for being here. Join his Patreon, Andrew T. Collins, for info on that. And Matt Buschel, not your last time on the show. You are fantastic. Thank you so much for being my new friend. And I'm your new fan. Go follow him, Matt Buschel, MattBoschell. And we'll see you tomorrow on the show. Thank you for listening. Sport at Jackpot.
You're listening to You Up with Nikki Glaser on Comedy Central Radio. But are you watching You Up with Nikki Glaser? You totally can by going to youtube.com/YouUp. You'll find a bunch of great moments, fun guests, and bonus off-air episodes. Go on and find Nikki there.